Someone who knows a bit about that is our next guest. His name is Richie Hardcore, and he'll be well known to some of you. Welcome to the program, Richie.
Hey, how are you guys?
Yeah, good, man.
Very well, thanks.
Great to have you on. Look, Richie, you're a kickboxer, you're a radio host, you're a board member of White Ribbon, which is a group that does work around women and violence and actually bringing that to people's attention.
Yeah, White Ribbon's an international organization started in Canada, and we're tasked at stopping men's violence against women through, I guess, peer-to-peer education, encouraging men to talk to other men about what domestic violence is, which is obviously more than just physical violence. It's emotional and it's verbal. And encouraging, men to talk to their sons and their brothers and their friends about what good and bad behavior is. And to, segue into what you've been talking about, most recently it's come to our attention that it's important to talk about porn as much as it's important to talk about, the other facets of all of that.
Now, I have to say, you're Richie Hardcore. Your surname was part of your kickboxing background, not because of this topic we were talking about tonight.
I know. Yeah, so actually, my legal middle name is Skewered, but my legal middle name is Hardcore because that was my ring name.
Right.
As a fighter for a long time. And I go and talk in schools and I talk at different community organizations. I'm like, yeah, so I see the irony.
Yeah, totally, man. It's kind of like, wow.
Now, look, when I was 26 and at university and, I was into kickboxing and music, I wasn't planning on being in the position I am now talking about these sorts of issues. So,
one of the reasons that you called upon to talk about it, and one of the reasons, our producer Josh got in touch with you this week about it, was that you very publicly came out and talked about your own issues with pornography. So can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, it seems I'm the only guy who ever masturbated and look at pornography in New Zealand. The amount of the amount of media organizations that have got in touch with me recently.
You're the only one who's brave enough to talk about it.
or stupid enough, I don't know. I figure we've got to be the change we want to see in the world, and part of that is having awkward and honest conversations. And at White Ribbon, our last campaign's about broaching that conversation with your kids or your sons or your friends, about, the very unrealistic expectations that that porn places upon men and upon women, and unrealistic expectations. And I mean, and that stems from me, being in this position stems from me. When I first looked at porn when I was 10 years old, with zero idea of what it was. My friend's big brother walked into the room and was like, "Do you want to look at a porno?" And I was like, "Well, I don't know. I guess so." And it was exciting. I couldn't explain why it was exciting, but there's that biological urge of, sex being of natural interest to boys and women and girls. And then, that progressed. I went to an all boys high school where it was kind of like just a given that you're going to look at, like, this was back in the 90s, VHS and magazines, and then the internet came along and porn was just, growing and growing and growing in its availability. And I didn't really think about it at first, what I'm talking about now is all retrospective learning, but in my early 20s, I started listening to really politically conscious music, punk rock and hip hop music and hardcore music, and it really started shaping my worldview. I became a vegetarian. I started considering sweatshops and changes of supply and demand. And I started considering gendered violence and feminism and sexism, and really kind of started educating myself around those issues. Mm-hmm. And it took a long time to come to the understandings that I have now. But, yeah, I made like a sort of conscious decision to reject pornography, given for me at first it was more about what is the lived experience of a lot of the women who find themselves in the sex industry. I was reading a lot of radical feminism at the time, and it really made me consider that as a culture we are ignoring the lived experience of not all women, but some of the women in the sex industry that come from traumatized backgrounds, and we're pleasuring ourselves to that, And furthermore, we are then sort of encouraging men to turn off their empathy because if we're looking at, you know, a violent group sex scene on the internet, which you can, you know, you could pull that up in 1 second on a mainstream, not a fetishized, but a mainstream porn page right now, you could look at all number of like really degrading sex acts. And, you know, guys are masturbating to that around the world, but without any consideration for the performers in that film. How are they feeling then and their, you know, what is the lived experience that's put them in that position? And what is that teaching the men or the boys that are looking at that? You know, we've sexualized cruelty and violence. And that's not to take away from those people in the sex industry who are there for the economic gain, the economic benefit, and they're 100%, they have my support. But I also am mindful of the fact that, you know, that's not the case for a lot of people if you look at the academic research around it.
Richie, can I just want to share a quote from John Mayer. John Mayer was interviewed for a magazine about 6 years ago, I think it was, 6-7 years ago. He says this because he actually admits to his own kind of just getting a bit out of control with this. He said, it's a new synaptic pathway. You wake up in the morning, you open a thumbnail page off your phone, and it leads to a Pandora's box of visuals. There have probably been days when I saw 300 naked women before I got out of bed. Internet pornography has absolutely changed my generation's expectations. This is John Mayer, the well-known musician. Yeah. How does that, he asks, not affect the psychology of having a relationship with someone? It's got to.
Was that
your experience? Had it changed? Because, I mean, Nick, you and Nick Willis. Nick Willis was the other person. I was trying to think of the name before. Nick Willis went public as well not long ago. So.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, you know, all my early sexual experiences were shaped by what I'd seen in porn, to be honest.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, I was fortunate that I had, I mean, I've been quite public about the fact that I grew up in a dysfunctional household and it was shaped by alcoholism and yada, yada, yada. But my parents did their very best and they were good parents, I would say. And both my parents sat down and talked to me about being respectful to one another, to women, you know. I very distinctly remember my dad saying, hey, if you ever raped anyone, I disown you, which isn't the most nuanced conversation around sex and consent, but at least he brought it up. But that said, no one ever talked to me about the mechanics necessarily of what sex should look like or how it should be or mutual pleasurability. And I took a lot of my cues from porn, you know, like when I started having serious relationships, I very much...
That was how you had been educated.
Yeah, that was how I've been educated. I'm like, oh, okay, so this is the narrative. I'll do this and then I do this and then they do that and then blah, 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 you know?
You talked about how you have been going into schools and talking with young people. Did you ever have that experience yourself as a teenager? Did anyone come into your school?
Never.
Like, was that stuff happening back then?
No, not then. I mean, I'm 37 now.
Yeah.
Another public disclosure. So it was a time before, you know, kids were texting each other hardcore pornography. You know, it wasn't as ubiquitous as it is now.
Mm.
But I never had that conversation at school. I mean, to my memory, sex education was very much about this is how you don't get pregnant or get an STI or, you know.
Nothing about relationship.
Nothing about relationships, nothing about intimacy, nothing about the fact that what makes sex really amazing, whether you're in a long-term relationship or a casual relationship, is trust and being vulnerable and all of that stuff that's not shown in porn. In porn, there is never, I mean, speaking in broad general terms, talking about heterosexual mainstream pornography, so please forgive if I'm, you know, admitting some of the nuances, but broadly speaking, porn's not about showing any sort of caring or affection or mutuality of pleasure. It's generally subject, verb, object. Okay, the subject is the people doing the actions, which is the men. Yeah, the verb is insert degrading violent sex act or rough sex. And the object is the woman in the film. And that is the general narrative. And that's well documented by academics. And I'm not taking, and White Ribbon is not taking a moral stance on pornography and saying promiscuity is bad or casual sex is bad or we're not being sex negative or any of those potential counter arguments, because I do worry that sometimes people think that we're just being prudish by critically examining porn, but that's not the case. We're looking at how does it affect the behavior of people, and how does it affect that negatively? And I'm really happy, sad as it may be, that it is finally like an open conversation we're having in New Zealand now.
Yeah, well, I mean, we very much appreciate you being open about it, and and I really appreciate that last point. So thanks so much for coming and chatting with us tonight.
Yeah, well, hey, no problem. I mean, if, just a quick plug. I've given a bunch of talks on the subject, and a lot of people are like, we don't know how to broach that conversation with our kids.
Yeah.
And if you go to the White Ribbon website, we've actually, myself and Harry Nata, former All White, did a bunch of videos. Just with some talking points. We're not experts, you know, like we're learning ourselves as this goes along. But just some ideas about, hey, this is maybe how you might want to bring it up with your son or your daughter. And so we'd really encourage you to go check out whiteribbon.org.nz and have a look at the toolbox and see how maybe you can have that conversation about teaching your kids that what you see on the internet isn't reflective of reality and is potentially really harmful.
Great. Thanks, Richie.
Thanks a lot, man.
No worries.
Really appreciate it.
No worries. Good luck with the husband-wife thing.
I think we're doing okay so far.
I think you're doing great. I think you're doing great. You're positive role modeling.
Thanks, man. Okay. Goodbye. Thanks.